Okay, let's unpack this. We have a really fascinating stack of sources on the table today. Policy manuals, framework guidelines, and specifically, well, the Monitoring, Evaluation, and Impact Assessment document.
Right, the MEIA document from the South African Department of Human Settlements.
Exactly. And our mission for this deep dive is to figure out how a massive governmental sector tracks, whether it's housing initiatives or actually improving your life, rather than, you know, just burning through capital.
Because the 1997 Housing Act mandated the creation of sustainable human settlements, but proving that mandate is being met requires a truly colossal data apparatus.
It really does. And traditional monitoring is, well, it's a lot like baking a cake, where you only measure if you bought flour and eggs.
Right, the inputs.
Yeah, the inputs. And maybe that you bake the cake, which is the output.
Mm.
But you completely ignore whether the cake actually tastes good, which is the actual outcome and impact.
What's fascinating here is the framework's explicit pivot away from that. Historically, I mean, massive bureaucracies just default to performance monitoring. They track the budget spent, the concrete poured, or, you know, the sheer volume of units erected.
Right, just counting the physical houses.
Exactly. But this MEIA framework really forces a transition to results-based monitoring and evaluation. It demands that the government stop focusing on the structural output and start evaluating the human outcome.
So instead of treating a housing project like an isolated construction site, we have to look at it like an urban ecosystem. I mean, if you build 5,000 units, but they are completely severed from transit lines or clinics and economic hubs, the output is high.
But the actual impact on poverty or social mobility is basically zero.
Right, exactly zero.
Precisely. The document defines impact as the long-term consequence of the intervention. So it shifts the measurement from asking, you know, did we hand over a key, to asking, well, did the beneficiary's socioeconomic status stabilize or improve 5 years after receiving that key?
Wow, 5 years. That is a long time.
Yeah, they are evaluating things like title deed registration rates, yeah, integration with municipal services, and long-term community well-being.
I have to challenge the feasibility of this, though. I mean, we are talking about the housing subsidy system, the HSS.
The massive national database, yeah.
Right. This is a nationwide database capturing millions of beneficiary records, contractor details, and financial logs across 9 provinces. How does an agency actually track longitudinal well-being without turning into a bureaucratic black hole?
Where insights just go to die in spreadsheets.
Yes, exactly. How does anyone in leadership actually digest all this information?
Well, information overload is the primary threat to results-based M&E. If leaders are drowning in data, they can't make policy adjustments. To prevent this, the framework enforces a really elegant solution called the 1-3-25 reporting rule.
Okay, what is the 1-3-25 rule?
It means no matter how vast the longitudinal study or how complex the provincial data is, the evaluation must be ruthlessly distilled. It requires a 1-page policy summary, a 3-page executive summary, and a 25-page main report.
Wow, so just 1 page for the policy summary.
Mm-hmm.
That forces the evaluators to really filter out the noise.
It does, because if you cannot explain the socioeconomic impact of a multi-billion rand project on one single page, you probably don't understand the data yourself.
That makes a lot of sense. But filtering data leads to another hurdle. And here's where it gets really interesting, how the framework addresses the human behavior behind the data collection itself.
Yeah, if we connect this to the bigger picture, a monitoring framework is entirely useless if the goals it measures incentivize the wrong behavior. How the government sets the finish line really dictates how the provincial departments perform.
And the MEIA document actually includes a surprisingly human element about this warning regarding target setting. It explicitly cautions against setting targets outside of reasonable expectations.
Right, because it acknowledges that when you demand absolute perfection from complex human systems, you just end up breaking the system.
Completely.
Setting a target too high or having zero tolerance for human error actively undermines morale on the ground. When project managers view targets as unattainable from day one, it breeds a culture of mere compliance rather than genuine improvement.
So people start gaming the metrics just to survive the evaluation cycle.
Exactly, which corrupts the HSS data entirely. So realistic target setting is framed not as lowering standards, but as protecting the integrity of the data.
So what does this all mean for you? Whether you are running a massive government agency or just trying to manage your own team's projects, focusing on the actual impact rather than just the inputs is the true mark of accountability.
It demands asking whether your metrics are capturing real-world improvements or if they are just encouraging your team to check boxes to survive the quarter.
Right. And if a massive governmental housing sector can boil down complex, multi-year evaluations into a single one-page summary, what is stopping you from doing the exact same thing with your own biggest projects?
That is a great question to ask yourself.
Which leaves you with one final thought to mull over. If a framework like this demands measuring the long-term impact of a housing settlement on a family's socioeconomic status, how does any massive organization reconcile those generational outcomes with the reality of 3 to 4 year political and corporate leadership cycles? Until next time, keep digging deeper.